Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
363 days to Indy. All right, let's tell you that today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. All right, you've been aching to talk about it. Go ahead.
You know, the most interesting thing that I got.
And we're done. Okay.
From the Indy 500.
Let's move on to sports now. You know, it's interesting. Just so you know. Uh-huh. No, you know what?
Yeah.
The Indy 500 came up with a group of friends on Sunday night.
Okay.
And I mentioned that Ryan Hunter-Reay won the race. Reacts at the table. These are people who are sports fans.
Oh, I can feel the abuse coming already. Go ahead.
No, I'm trying to give you a real world conversation here. Okay. Did they run that today?
Ratings were up for the 500, though.
And you know what they said?
What?
I remember when that used to be a big deal.
I agree. I totally agree. Ratings were up, though. They got a 4 compared to last year's 3.8.
So where'd they find the other guy?
You watched it long enough to get credit. Second closest finish in Indy 500 history.
It wasn't as dramatic as they made it out to seem, okay?
I agreed.
He had no shot
no.
of passing him.
No.
He had no shot the last lap of passing him.
I think if it would have been another lap, if it would have been 201, I think he would have had him into turn one. But I don't know that he would have been able to keep the... I don't think Elio Castroneves would have been able to hold off Ryan Hunter-Reay. He had an outstanding car for that race.
If Penn State had one more possession against Central Florida, exactly. They would have beaten them.
It's exactly right. Do you know what Graham Rahal...
You would be amazed, like, when the clock hits zero, they don't give you any more chances.
No. Well, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. I think Michigan would feel that they got some extra chances a few years ago.
I'm saying, though, if you're winning or losing, when it hits zero, they don't give you any... Okay, there is no lap 201. There's no lap 201. Okay, so he wasn't going to catch him.
And I would like to say, as the only IndyCar fan on this program, but not the only one listening, we've proven that, I am very happy that IndyCar decided to red flag that race with under 10 to go. Now, I know there's going to be controversy about this from people that follow the series because that's kind of unprecedented. They don't have a green-white checkered rule. The last several Indy 500, three, as a matter of fact, finished under yellow, which is very anticlimactic for the biggest race of the year. I think they need to put a rule in that clearly states that if there's less than X amount of laps or they're not going to be able to end under green, there's some sort of green-white checkered rule, because there is no way that a race of 500 miles should end under caution. It's just, it's not fair to the fan base, and that's the people paying the price to see this race. And it's not fair to the sponsors either. I think that's the one thing that NASCAR does very, very well is the green-white checkered idea. And I know you sent me a text right as they red flagged it. 500 is 500.
Right.
But I think the argument you're going to get from IndyCar is, well, we had to red flag it because we had to make repairs to the wall and we had to bring out the blowtorch. That's going to be a weak comment. I think, to a lot of people, but I don't think any auto race should end under yellow. Now, if it's the last lap and you bring out the yellow on the last lap, that's a different story. But you should not be running 80 miles an hour after a 500-mile race, or any mile race, as a matter of fact, under yellow and finish the race that way. It's just not fair to the fans. It's not fair to the sponsors, and they're the ones footing the bill for both. And for those of you that don't know the green-white checkered rule, they'll come out with a green flag, then the white flag, followed by the checkered flag. And that'll happen in NASCAR twice if there is another yellow that has flown. Now, if the yellow flies on the last lap, it ends, period. But I think that's the one thing that NASCAR with the green-white checkered does well. All right, I'm done now. Thanks. Here's something you will find interesting, though, Stephen. Ryan Hunter-Reay, $2.5 million for the win. Graham Rahal, barely, I don't even know if he went 100 miles, will pick up a paycheck of $341,000. Not a bad day.
Okay, in sports, let's turn our attention now to get a chance to read USA Today today. I know you're mad at them because
I am mad. Yeah, they didn't put in the auto racing section on auto racing's big day.
Not enough money to do that anymore.
Well, that's all right. I didn't spend enough money to buy it, so there we're even.
No, I'm just saying that's the reason. It's a money reason.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
USA Today used to be, well, I want to say, between an inch or two wider, and had more pages to it than what you see today. They've cut back on the width of the paper. They've cut back on the number of total pages and column inches in the paper, but they've also doubled the newsstand price from $1 to $2. And there probably is not an auto racing section in it for two reasons. They probably just didn't have the money for it. Number two, they may not have had sponsors. Two big reasons why.
What was your favorite part of the race? You didn't listen, and listen, I will say this. You watched the majority of that race. Now, I don't think you watched every single lap, but you and I were talking, we're texting back and forth during the race. I know you watched quite a bit of it.
I think when the red flag came out and nobody was moving, I sat back and went, okay, yeah, this is what Kevin talks about, the excitement. That's great.
That's needed the to part happen. That needed to happen.
Well, it didn't need to happen.
But needed okay. to happen.
The best part of the race was the fact that in the last four laps, the two guys at the front ad-libbed their way through and did not do the prescribed line or the prescribed path to passing.
That oh,
they
yeah.
ad-libbed it.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Hunter-Reay almost went on the grass to make that last pass to win it.
Yeah. It showed me how much they wanted it. All right. Okay. So, you have Heat up 3-1 on the Pacers. Oklahoma City and San Antonio play tonight. The Kings are playing their best hockey of the year. Took out the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2. They have a hot goaltender, and they're playing Greg Carter, Doherty, Kopitar. They're all playing great right now for the Kings. They're up 3-1. People forget they are just 2 years removed from winning the Stanley Cup themselves. Tonight, Montreal and the Rangers.
will play. Rangers are trying to get back to the Cup final for the first time since Messier and company won it in 94, so 20 years. So you could have a New York-Los Angeles Cup final. Could. Let's see. What else? Jimmy Johnson won at Charlotte. That's the seventh time in his career. So no surprise there. In fact, it was an All-American day. It was Ryan Hunter-Reay and Jimmy Johnson. Josh Beckett no-hit the Phillies. And then Real went out last night and had a perfect game for seven against the Reds. The Dodgers pitchers went 17 straight innings without giving up a hit. 17 straight innings not giving up a hit. Pretty impressive. But Josh Beckett no-hit them. The thing is, the Phillies look bad in doing it on Sunday. Because I watched the last three innings of that game. No, but I'm talking missing cutoff men, base running mistakes because they had two walks. They just didn't look good doing it all the way through. And lost the ball game. And then not only that, I thought Tommy McCarthy was really professional about it. I think Jamie Moyer and Matt Stairs were not. Openly rooting for a guy to drop a pop-up.
Even Phillies fans were rooting for that, rooting for the no-hitter at one point.
Well, it's not a question of whether you're rooting for it or rooting against it. Okay, take me into it. You know, there's one part Matt Stairs did a good job about how he broke up a no-hitter and what his thought process was. Okay, well, I'm fine with that. But there was a pop-up behind Shorty. Like, hey, drop it. I mean, drop it. It's not your job to tell them to drop it. I know they're inexperienced at this thing, but this is where we've gone with it?
I'm not going to argue with you. I told you before, I was not happy with what Comcast and the Phillies decided to do with their broadcast booth. As a fan, I didn't like it. Now, I'm not much for change either, and I thought that this was change for the sake of change, quite honestly. And this isn't a good change to me.
I mean, now, the Philly broadcast people, you know, from Tommy McCarthy to the technical staff, graphics, and so forth, gave you some great information. You know, the graphic, basically, I mean, there was not a nine-inning no-hitter against the Phillies ever at the Vet. 33 years, not once were they no-hit in a nine-inning game at the Vet. Pascual Perez had one of those five-inning no-hitters. So the last time the Phillies were no-hit in Philadelphia for nine innings was 1969. And a pretty darn good pitcher, too. I mean, not a Hall of Famer, but a darn good pitcher who actually had two no-hitters in his career, Bill Stoneman. You know, he was the first. He and Rusty Staub were the first two early stars for the Montreal Expos. And he went into Philadelphia in 69, and he threw a no-hitter. The Phillies do not. Okay, the Phillies have power at first. Howard hit a big home run yesterday. They don't have power at third, left, or right. And that's a big problem for them. Because we talk about building a team up the middle. Okay, you know, Ruiz is a great start, and I think Rivera is a very good defensive center fielder. Utley's okay at second. Rollins is okay at short. So defensively, you may not be top grade. I mean, Rollins is not going to be compared to Simmons of the Braves at shortstop. Simmons, the best shortstop in the field by far in baseball. I mean, you ever see that kid play shortstop?
Not a lot. I've seen a little bit, but not a lot.
Well, the two Platinum Glove winners last year were Machado of the Orioles for the American League and Simmons in the National League. So they take all the Gold Glove winners and they pick out the best field, they give them a Platinum Glove. Now, Rollins isn't that. Okay, so up the middle defensively, they're okay. Philly's middle relief is just, by Major League standards, very poor. And in baseball, I talked about up the middle, you have to be strong. Catcher, second, short, center field. But offensively, you need to have power at first, third, left, and right. They have no power at third, left, or right. They have more power at second and short than in left and right. Normally, if you have some power, it's short and second. That's bonus power. But that's where you need to have it in today's game, and the Phillies don't have it.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Has served the Valley for decades. That's because they take great care of their customers. Find out. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. And the forecast in the area, there's going to be a line of storms going through. The temperatures dropped here in State College, 17 degrees in the past hour. 17 degrees in the past hour from the line of storms that have gone through here. So now the question is, what does that mean for the Valley? And you're going to get hit pretty hard there in the Valley. I can tell you that right now. You will get hit hard, and some of these storms will be ferocious. Now, there was a big cell that came through here, but it had no hail in it. Okay, and I know that's something that people are worried about. But when you look at the weather now, it's starting to rain in Sunbury and Selins Grove. Milton has got heavy rain right now. Williamsport just had a huge cell go through there. To the Shamokin is on the edge of it, and they're getting some rain there right now. And then, of course, there's Newport and Millersburg and Port Treverton, they're on the edge of the rain right now. Lewisburg is starting to get some of the heavier stuff as we speak.
Well, that thunderstorm warning with that area and that line of storms you're talking about is in effect until 4 for Snyder, Southeastern Lycoming, Northwestern, Northumberland, Southeastern Union, also Montour County.
Yeah, Watsontown's getting hit pretty hard right now. Bloomsburg and Danville will get what Watsontown and Milton are getting. Okay, so that's so just be prepared for it. And just be prepared for it, and we'll go through with that. Okay. Don't forget, by the way, that Joe Crisman will be on the show tomorrow. I always kid Joe that Tommy and Hank Aaron combined for 761 home runs. Hank hit 755 of them. I always tell Joe that you and John Crispin combined for 2,000 points at Penn State, and Joe, you had 1,987 of them.
Nice.
Well, John, I don't know. You know John Crispin, you know he's engaged to, don't you?
No.
Jennifer Matthews, Clay Matthews' sister.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to explain. Clay Matthews is a football player, Kevin.
I know
he plays
who
for the
that.
Green Bay Packers.
Yes, okay. I'm well aware. Believe me.
Why? If it was some race car driver from Chile, you'd know it.
Colombia, but that's okay. I don't think there are any Chilean drivers right now in the series.
Give it a month.
Hey, listen. I planted myself in front of the TV at 7:30, watched the most boring Monaco race I've ever seen. Oh, man. Like, can somebody pass for the lead? Anybody? And then I watched the 500, which was nice. And I didn't watch all 600 miles of the Coca-Cola 600 because I was kind of disappointed when Kurt Busch dropped out of it with a mechanical issue. He had a great run in the 500, though.
Meanwhile, in sports...
I spent Monday recovering.
From what? Sitting there?
Well, there's a lot of sitting going on. You know, there was an awful lot of sitting going on Sunday. So, you know, I had to get out and move a little bit, get some exercise.
Okay, what made this Sunday different?
I sat for a lot longer. Plus, I had to wake up early, you know.
Is that possible?
For a minute, I thought you were actually awake with me because I got a text early in the morning asking me when things got started.
Yeah, no. I really was anxious to be a part of the festivities. Today, USA Today, I started to get into this earlier, had an article on James Franklin and the publicity that he has generated toward Penn State has been... obviously positive in a lot of ways, and he generates a lot of positive press for them to this point, especially you're talking about the late month of May. And this story, you know, it talks, his family's going to move here in July. He's been sleeping over at Lash Building and so forth. And you know, it's you have a little more leeway on summer workouts, which is really good around here. I mean, it's really good for college. And this is more the new rules that are being put in this summer. Is that you have 8 hours a week for 8 weeks of strength and conditioning. Okay. So you have that. And of the 8 hours that you get during that time, you also can devote 2 hours to film study and meetings. And the entire coaching staff can participate in the mandatory workouts, not just the strength and conditioning guys. So it doesn't have to be just Dwight Gault and his staff working with these guys. All the coaches can be involved. Now, what they cannot do is they cannot oversee any type of football practice, like a 7-on-7 drill or defensive drills. I mean, that's something that rule fully needs to change. They need to be allowed to have, in my opinion, some individual workout time with them, where Ricky Ronnie should be allowed to devote 2 hours a week to Christian Hackenberg. John Donovan should be allowed to devote 2 hours a week to working with Ricky Ronnie Hackenberg and the wideouts and tight ends and running backs. That should be allowed to happen. Because in basketball, that is allowed to happen. In basketball, you get, I think it's 4 hours. And that's allowed to happen. You can do that. Football should be allowed to have that. And there are a couple reasons for it. Number one, that kind of separation, you know, is, as far as I'm concerned, not healthy for the program. Because you're only talking, like, of the 8 hours, 2 hours a week. Well, I don't, you know, 2 hours is 2 hours. That's all it is. You know, you're not talking about 2 hours a day. You're talking about 2 hours a week. And I think it's good for players to be around coaches and have a little bit of structure like that in the off season. Because, gee, when do most problems seem to occur, Kevin? In the off season. Dave in Sunbury is with us. Dave, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
How's Dave?
Okay, how are you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Well, I just called for, I wanted Kevin to, there was a sporting event in between those two races that he ain't saying much about.
There was a sporting event in between the two races. What one?
Yeah. You root for the one team. I sort of root for the other.
What, there was a was there a Phillies game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped watching.
I said, wow, I'm hearing about these auto races, but I don't hear nothing about them fighting Phillies.
Well, we were talking about that, actually, earlier on.
Actually, Dave, I was.
Okay.
I'm too depressed to talk about it, so I don't.
Well, hey, you had a great game yesterday.
Well, you know, every once in a while they actually show up.
Okay.
Listen, anytime you can get a win right now is a plus if you're a Phillies fan. You know, it's just you go in not expecting the win and hope for the best.
Yeah, well, and we're looking up at the San Francisco. Every win we got, they seem to be winning anyway. So that doesn't, you know, we're not gaining any ground.
That's why God created the wild card.
That's right.
Okay, Steve. But with the kind of money you're shelling out to that, you shouldn't need the wild card.
Yeah, that's true. That's a gigantic. I think the Dodgers are number one in payroll now. They're past the Yankees. So.
And then subsequently goes up even some more next year.
Well, as Steve said, that pitching's been impressive for the Dodgers right now. Worth every penny.
It is. But you know, until you, if you don't, you know, if you don't make the playoffs with all that money shelled out, you know, the old saying goes, you lose the first one to roll. When it comes to that, you got a 25-man roster or the manager.
Well, it's a flexible 25-man roster, and Butera, the backup catcher now, is like, I mean, he's in hog heaven because A.J. Ellis in the celebration jumped up and down and hurt his ankle. Yeah. He's on the disabled list. The other catcher in the minor leagues, they were moving back and forth, bit the ear off another guy, and they released him. So, I mean, you want to talk about being in good shape. That guy's in good shape. Hey, I'd go and ask for a new contract.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's hog heaven. Well, I'll hang up and listen, and you guys have a great day.
You have a great day as well. It's 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Served the Valley for more than 50 years. Service and price mean everything to them because it means everything to you on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tuesday edition of the show brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sean Lee, by the way, at OTAs today, hurt his left knee. Had to be helped from the field. How serious? Nobody knows. Meanwhile, Andre Johnson for the Houston Texans was a no-show at OTAs today. I'd like to say to Bill O'Brien, welcome back to the National Football League. All right. Something tells me that Christian Hackenberg being a no-show at the Penn State camp would have mentioned he lost his job in the NFL.
Right.
In the NFL. It's commonplace.
It'll be a $500 fine and time served.
I mean, welcome back to the pros. When they don't want to show, they don't show.
You I just find don't them all feel like it today.
No, he wants out. He wants out. He said he was not going to show up, and it did not show up. Said that he's talked to Johnson. They've had positive conversations. Says he has a lot of respect for him. Now, OTAs are technically voluntary.
Yeah.
Under the collective bargaining agreement. Now, Johnson has not attended a single Texans offseason workout program, which means he hasn't met Fitch yet. Now, one thing I'll say this about Andre Johnson, to his credit, there isn't a single person on the face of the earth that knows what he wants. He hasn't said it.
Does he?
He said he wondered if Houston's the right place for him. He added that he has not requested to be traded. He has not spoken to anyone about his contract. Who knows? I mean, the Texans have had three winning seasons since he's been there. Maybe he's sick of losing. I don't know. And sometimes that's the case. And you know what? I don't blame a guy for like, hey, look, I've done really well. I mean, honestly, you know, at some point you want to win. And that's, you know, LeBron James handled leaving Cleveland badly with the decision and being on with Jim Gray and everything that went into that bogus night. But, you know, in the end, he took less money. You realize that, don't you?
Yeah, but if
he did not go to Miami because they offered him more money. They offered him less money than Cleveland.
But
by
if you,
$6 million a year.
If you signed a contract to play, you play your contract. You know, we had the same argument last year. Well, not an argument. We had the same discussion last year when it involved a Steeler wide receiver. You signed a deal. Play your deal out. If you want to renegotiate, that's fine. But you've signed a deal. Step up and complete the deal.
Where did I disagree with you?
You didn't. I'm just saying. I don't have time for players that want to do that. I don't care what the sport is. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how awful you are. You signed a deal, and you wanted this big multi-year deal. I'm not saying that's the situation in this case, but if you want this big multi-year deal, well, guess what? Sometimes the team's going to stink and live with it.
Well, I've been in that position before. Okay. I'm not going to get into the details of it. But I found out that it would behoove me to renegotiate my contract. All right.
And that's fine.
No. I'm not done yet. Okay. All right. And I elected not to because I said that I had signed my contract in good faith and I went through into the end. Then when my contract was over and a new one came up, I then brought up and then things worked out perfectly and evened up.
Now, if you want to come out and say, listen, I'd like to renegotiate my contract, and the employer, I'll say, depending on what your situation is, says, sure, let's look into that. That's a different story. But when you say, I'd like to renegotiate my contract, no, I'm sorry, we're going to stick with the terms of this one. Well, that's it. I'm not going to show up at practice. Okay. Why? Just because they didn't renegotiate with you? Just because they won't trade you?
Well, they're trying to use it as leverage. I mean,
and I understand, but
and skipping OTAs. I mean, really? Now it would behoove him to go because he has a brand new system. Bill O'Brien's system is different than Gary. But Bill O'Brien's system is different than Gary Kubiak's, and I'm telling you right now, Andre Johnson's going to love working with Stan Hixon. My respect for Stan Hixon is exponential as to how he coaches wide receivers. But like I said, I mean, I was in that position where if I had elected to go in and request a renegotiation of my contract, I was going to be well within my rights to do it. And I elected not to because I had signed the contract in good faith, and there still was 2 years to go in the contract when I found out a couple different things. And then at the end, I brought up the respective issues, you know, and they're small issues, but at the same time, I brought them up, and the next contract fit exactly the way it should fit.
You know, I waited
2 years. So,
well, if the company, and the team, or whatever,
and I never said a word to them.
Yeah, if the place you're working for or the team you're playing for comes up to you and says, "Hey, you know, we'd like to offer you a new deal because we want to extend your contract," that's also a different story. But
they can walk up and ask me to do that any day they want. Really.
Right, that's my point. But if you come up and say, "Listen, I'd like a new contract," and the employment company or whatever your team says, "No, sorry, we're gonna work with this one," okay, I'll see you in a year, 2 years, whatever.
All right. The Pac-12 is looking at sweeping reforms that they would like to change in the NCAA model, including a stipend for student athletes. It's a 10-point plan that includes many proposals that commissioners have been advocating for several years, including stipends for athletes. And that's a big one. Now, the number that's been thrown out there has been consistently $2,000 for an academic year. But this is what they're talking about in terms of reform. Number one, permit institutions to make scholarship awards up to the full cost of attendance. Provide reasonable ongoing medical or insurance assistance for student athletes who suffer an incapacitating injury. Now, most schools have done that. I mean, guarantee scholarships for enough time to complete a bachelor's degree, provided that the student remains in good academic standing. And some of these are very much common sense rules. But let me get to the stipend thing is interesting, because if you give it to one sport or two sports, I think you have to give it to all sports. But a field hockey player should get a stipend. Okay, a men's lacrosse player should get a stipend. It just can't be football and men's basketball. So I would like to know how far they want to go with it and whether or not it goes to the percentage of scholarship. Some student-athletes are, say, on a half scholarship or a quarter or three quarters because you're trying to make numbers fit. Well, do you get a stipend that goes to the percentage?